All right, Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll be. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning that I had a unique experience yesterday. And it was a good experience, I may add. I was able to go to my first Georgia home game. And I heard that. I heard that a lot yesterday. And it was great. It was great. And I appreciate the opportunity. I was given some tickets, and I was able to take missionary Mark Garrison and Thomas, my son, went. And it was good. It was good. We got there and did the whole spiel, you know, went for the dog walk and got to see the players come in and old Harry, you know, got to see him cut up a little bit. But you know, one of the things that I noticed, when I was walking to find a spot for us to stand in the dog walk, I noticed T-Mobile had a big pink tent set up and noticed over there was a former Georgia player. I believe his name, I always want to say his last name wrong, but is it David Pollock? Yeah. David Pollock was there and he was signing little cards of his and he was, you know, taking a picture with you. And so I was just like, well, hey, I think I just might go over here and talk to this gentleman. And sure enough, I did. The lady said, yeah, come on in. So I talked with him for a moment and he was super kind and gracious. And I'd heard that he was a believer. And so I still wanted to witness to him and give him a gospel tract. So I gave him one of my testimony tracts and he was so very thankful. And I gave it to him. He said something to the extent of glory to God. And he said, it's all about him, isn't it? I said, yes, sir, it is. I said, I want you to know, I appreciate your testimony and of just the world you live in and function in. I know there is a lot of animosity towards people with a strong conservative Christian worldview on life. And I told him just to keep on keeping on. And so that was a good experience. And then, of course, just all the events that took place that day. I will say this. It was good to go, but it was good to get home. That's a loud place. And it was quiet when we got home and it was nice. But nevertheless, you know, I just there at the game, Lord just shared a couple things with me, and maybe it has a little bit to do with the message, but maybe not. I just thought I'd share it with you. But one of the things that shared with me is that I think it's good to do things as a family and enjoy recreation, entertainment, such as football and other things. And especially when you get in that kind of electric environment, you know, where everybody's on the same page. Except for, like, you know, 12 Mississippi State fans. It's a pretty neat experience. But one of the things the Lord reminded me is, you know, how sweet it is when God's people are unified like that. When we have our hearts connected for one mission, one purpose, to press forward and to cheer each other on and to encourage one another. That is what we desire to do. But as we know, the beloved dogs, they strive for a temporary and a corruptible crown, which is perfectly appropriate to, you know, for fun and entertainment. But when we think about the spiritual application, the local church, God's people in a local church, and then His bride, the whole body of Christ worldwide, we think, boy, what we're going for, it will not perish. It is incorruptible. It is eternal. And that is the meat of the message today. It is focusing and prioritizing that which is eternal. That which is eternal. Notice with me Matthew chapter 6 and we'll start with verse 21. We'll start with 19. Verse 19 says, lay, Jesus is teaching his disciples here and others that about how we as Christians should focus on that which he's called us to do. He says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, before I continue, let me pause right there. I personally believe in my study, and there are men smarter than me that would probably give you a better answer, but my personal study, when he's talking about mammon, he's talking about materialism. Not just money. Money's definitely part of that, a big part of it, because you have to have money to get possessions. It's materialism. And specifically, not just materialism, but get this, that which is temporal. The material things of this world are not eternal. The things we possess are not eternal, the material things. But God and His work is eternal. Everything we do for God is eternal. When we make Him the priority, that's where He's going at here. We can't serve both. We can't serve in both worlds. And I'll get into that more in just a moment. But He says in verse 25, because you're going to have one master, He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life, I love this, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Life is more about material things. It's much more. It's infinitely more. He says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, speaking of the sun, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And this encapsulates, verse 33 and 34 encapsulates everything he's teaching in this context from verse 19 where we started reading. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to preach a message to you entitled, First Things First. First things first. You've heard that before, hadn't you? All right, today, first things first. Maybe it's a chore that needs to be done, a bill that needs to be paid, a person that needs to be talked to. I don't know. We all have those things where we have a priority and we have to use that phrase. All right, today, sometimes we'll say this. Without what? Fail. Without fail, first things first, this is a priority. And this is what Jesus is teaching His children in this chapter. He says, you keep first things first, everything else will take care of itself. You keep first things first, my command, my priority, my kingdom, you keep that at the forefront, everything else will take care of itself. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I pray that we would keep first things first. I pray that You would encourage our hearts this morning with the Word of the living God. Spirit of God, please teach us these truths. And may we not just receive them in our head, but, oh God, let them sink down deeply into our hearts. Oh, for Your glory, I pray, Jesus, in Your name. Amen. First things first. The Master here, the Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching a very valuable lesson on what it means to truly attain the right kind of things in this life. I don't believe for a moment that the Lord is saying that it's wrong to have things. He tells us that He has given us all things to enjoy. There is a aspect of Christianity where we understand that we are called to steward the things that He's given us. And that's all areas of life, right? He's called us to steward those things. So He's not teaching His disciples that it's wrong to have earthly possessions and even earthly treasures, if you will. He does say it is wrong, get this, to lay it up for ourselves. Because notice he says, lay not there in the passage, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. This is a very important difference. He's saying it's not wrong to lay up for yourselves treasures. He's just saying, make sure the treasures are going to the right place. Are the treasures on earth your focus? Are the treasures in heaven our focus? Because Jesus said Himself right there, He said, don't lay yourselves treasures upon earth where it's going to corrupt, but He says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. He's saying your focus should be the eternal investments in your life that I am calling you to make. And that indeed He does. He speaks of where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So the question is, when we talk about supporting missions and we support these things, we are asking ourselves, where is our treasure? If our treasure is in that which is eternal, that's where our heart's going to be. If we are focusing on that which is eternal, our heart is going to be steadfast towards that which is eternal. But if we don't really think about the eternal, the hereafter, we don't think about those things, our heart is going to be fixed on that which is temporal. Earthly possessions. That's what rules us. And that's why He goes down, if you notice, talks about your treasure. Verse 22, He's going to talk about your vision. Jesus uses the eye as an illustration here. Notice He says, the light of the body is the eye. What does He mean by that? Well, He's simply saying, your eye is how your body functions in the idea of you experiencing vision. The eye receives all the light, all these beautiful colors of the flags and the church, and you go outside and you see all the beautiful colors, the birds, the trees, and man, I've never seen so much red in my life as I did yesterday. That beautiful red. You know, the eye receives that, and it receives that light, And it lights the whole body up. It's that purpose. But he's using it as a further illustration. He says the light of the body is the eye. He says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What is he talking about here? He's talking about having an eternal focus. Your life will be lit up when we have a single focus on the kingdom of God and that which is eternal. But the opposite is true if we focus only on earthly, temporal things. Notice what he says. He says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see what he's teaching here, and for us to be able to be affected in our hearts, we have to gaze to that which is eternal. Souls are eternal, brethren. That is which is eternal. For the exception of God Himself and His Word, the one thing that we know that is eternal are the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I mean, think about this. We are not bodies that happen to have a soul. We are all spiritual beings. We are souls that happen to have a body. This body is going to perish. It will be, praise God, resurrected at the rapture. But this soul of mine is really who I am. It's eternal. Your soul is eternal. When we go and look at the billions across the world, when I looked at those 93,000 there in Sanford Stadium yesterday, it kept coming to my mind, I wonder how many of these people are born again. I wonder if the rapture were to take place, how many would still remain? I don't know that. Maybe it would be a lot of them that would be taken out. I don't know that for sure. But the fact of the matter is, I want God to help me, as Mike and Noel sang the special. I want God to help me and to help you see this world as He does. Souls. Souls. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. And God help us to do our part in helping them get the message that will bring salvation. And God promises, by the way, that there will be many that believe. Brother Mark Gearson was telling me about the investment he had made there at Boise State University. You know, the college, all I know about Boise State is they got a very blue football field. But nevertheless, that's where Brother Mark Gearson went. And engineering degree, but then God called him into, he graduated with an engineering degree, went into engineering, but then God called him into missions. And he said he had a Bible study on campus. And he was just kind of discouraged because he was Campus Crusade for Christ is an organization, a ministry that reaches especially college students and has made a great impact on hundreds and thousands of college students. And he said that he was with this ministry and they put him in charge of starting a small group. And he said, man, it was just falling flat. He's, oh, we got to work. Oh, we got studying. Oh, we got classes. Oh, there's always conflict. And he said, it was a battle. It was such a battle. And he went on for about a year and it started coming together a little bit. Before he would graduate and move on, God called him into missions. And he said it was encouragement. The group that started meeting, he said they started going through a book together, In the Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And just started seeking the Lord together. And it encouraged him. But then he had to leave. You know, he had to go to that next chapter in his life. Well, he said it was so interesting. He said it was about 5 years later after he had left that. He said there were certain people in the group that he said, Brinson, he said, man, I just knew they really didn't want to be there. He said it was discouraging. He said I could just tell they were just a little disinterested and certainly distracted. But they would come and it was kind of like, all right, Lord, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. And he said there were a few that were on fire for God, but there were a few that were just really just didn't seem engaged. But anyway, after that, 5 years later, he's in his engineering firm. He's doing some paperwork or whatnot. And he's going to submit it to a company, however that works. Well, for that company, as Mark walked into the building to get this paperwork submitted, there was a guy across the counter. And it was someone from that Bible study And they made eye contact, and his name was Jeremy. He's like, Jeremy! And it's like, Mark! Man, they kind of got together and started catching up. Man, it's been a while. And since then, Mark had surrendered and gone to the mission field, was back, and had been married, had the kids. And this guy had also gotten married since then, and married a young lady from that college small group that were meeting in there. They got married, and they already had 4 children. He said, y'all did not waste any time building that family. And so he was excited, and he said, look, he said, God's really blessed us. And Mark's just trying to, Mark told me this. He said he was doing everything he could not to bust out crying. Because what that young man would go on to say, he said this. He said, Mark, he says, I got something I need to tell you. And Mark says, I'm not saying this for glory or anything, but this is literally what happened. He said, not only are my wife and I surrendered to the Lord, but God's called us to the mission field. And he says, we're preparing to go to China. And Mark just literally melted, you know, thinking of what was going on. He said, Brinson, that's not the thing that gets me about this whole story. He said, Jeremy was one of the guys that seemed like he really didn't want to be there. Gives me chills thinking about it. Jeremy was one of the ones that was disinterested and just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But God got a hold of his heart. Brother Mark was investing in eternity. And now a missionary, and he said this to Mark, and Mark said, I'm not taking any glory here, but he said this, Jeremy told him this, he said, Mark, that Bible study changed my life. He said, it had a great impact on me and my wife. And now they're keeping in touch the past 14 years. Mark sends him letters about the work in Colombia, and Jeremy sends him letters about the work in China. Folks, God's doing amazing things, but we have got to keep him at the forefront and his work, his eternal work, his kingdom. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about your kingdom. It's all about his kingdom. And my light that I focus on eternity, it brings my life light, my family light, the church light. It lights us up. And that's when Jesus said, be a light that's set upon a hill, not under a bushel, not under a hid under a basket. But that's what he's saying. And then he closes it up with this, and he tells them not to worry. It's a whole nother message, but he said, what's going to be those, when you stop thinking about the material gain and being so materialistic minded, one of the temptations that you face, and I know I face, I believe we all face it, is that, okay, if I'm going to have an eternal focus and I'm going to make that the main mission of my life, then how am I going to be provided for? Jesus addressed it because he knows your heart and he knows mine. Lord, I can't go. I can't give. We're building stuff here. I want this and that and that and that. If we're not careful, we're so caught up. And again, this is not being critical of material gain, but we have to make sure that it's in the perspective that it's not about building my kingdom. It's about building his. It's about using my treasures as a tool for that which is eternal. And Jesus told him, don't worry about that. If you keep me first and my kingdom and my eternal work, everything else will take care of itself. You just choose me as your master. Don't choose your mammon. Don't let your things control you. That's why debt can be devastating in our lives, because what it does, it becomes a master. And I'm not criticizing debt in general. I'm just saying unhealthy debt. When people blow up credit cards, and I understand some are in a situation where you realize that was a mistake and you're just trying to dig yourself out of a hole. I want to tell you, you keep on working towards that. God will bless you and help you. I'm not being critical of you. But what I am saying is that, boy, what the Lord is saying here is that you keep me first, my kingdom first, and my righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'll make sure you get a meal. I'll make sure you get clothes on your back and a roof over your head. I'll make sure of that. And it will be an eternal focus. The birds. We got a little bird feeder that fastens to our little kitchen window where that's where we eat most of our meals, right there in the kitchen. And it's fastened to the window with the little suction cups, and we got some bird seed and whatnot. Well, it must be only that which cardinals like, because that's all that really visits us. We'll get a random bird here and there, but they are beautiful. And I love to see them come up. We got a male and a female, and they take turns, and they come up, and it's just fun to sit there at the table and watch them. But you know, I think about those birds, ladies and gentlemen, I think about this. They don't worry about where their food's going to come from. If the Jennings didn't give them food, they'd get it somewhere else. They'd go over to the Heises. They'd go over to the Kennedys. I don't know. Maybe the Wheelers. I don't know. God's got them for it. And I just want you to know that's God. If God cares that much about the birds, that they don't have to worry about one thing, about where their food's going to come from, how much more does He care about you and me? We honor Him. Yes, we are responsible with our finances. God is not suggesting here that we shouldn't even worry about paying our bills and buying groceries and buying some clothes for us to wear. You understand that's not the spirit of our Lord. He's saying when those things become the focus, and that's the main thing, we've lost our eternal perspective. In closing, when we take up this offering here in just a moment, I just want to remind you that as I think upon this binder right here, over nearly 70 missionary families, each one given a report just in the past few months of this year of the souls that have been saved, North Africa, Maine, Brazil, widow lady working in the States, Ecuador, Peru, Ireland, Scotland, Guyana, Australia, Taiwan, Israel, medical missions outreach, Big Bear, California, Indonesia, Alaska. I think of Hungary. I think of Honduras, Michigan, reaching Muslims, Iran, Colombia, Greenland, South Africa, here in Georgia, the Hamby family. I think of the Hansards that were here with us, Argentina, Hong Kong. Oh, I think of Idaho. Oh, praise the Lord. I think of Chile. And I think of Canada, Madagascar, the Johnsons there in Dominican Republic, Becca, Joseph. I go through these. The Kellers reaching Mormons in Utah, Honduras, Suriname reaching our military, Atlanta, Georgia, City Baptist Church, Japan, Indonesia, Dominican Republic, Germany, South America, Brazil, Ivory Coast, Poland, Paraguay, Burkina Faso, the Philippines, Scotland, Burkina Faso, Nicaragua. I think of Korea and Nepal and Botswana, Mozambique, Germany, New York City. And I go through these and I think about the souls that are being saved through these ministries, families that are being changed forever. That's eternal. And as a church, we say, Lord, let us end on this. We want to give, not because we have to, but Lord, we want to. And let the Lord lead you as we think upon the people that will be impacted as a result of our giving, fruit that will abound to our account. Let's pray.